Nupple Experiment by Charlotte Elizabeth Ramsey. Read by Ryan Chen. Here we go. Urologiju. The dry nation at midnight on January 17, 1920. The United States went dry. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified the previous year and implemented by the Volstead Act, prohibited the manufacture, sale, and transportation of intoxicating liquors across the entire country. 13 years of the American experiment in legislated morality had begun. The dry celebrated. The Anti-Saloon League and the Women's Christian Temperance Union and the evangelical churches that had spent decades working toward this moment rejoiced at the triumph of virtue over vice. The saloon, that corrupt, degrading institution that had wrecked families and drained workers' wages and corrupted politics, was abolished. A new, sober, productive America lay ahead. What came instead was Al Capone. The Prohibition era produced some of the most colorful and consequential years in American history. Jazz age glamour and underground speakeasies, gangsters who became celebrities, massive political corruption, and a criminal underworld that would outlast the amendment by generations. The Noble Experiment, as its advocates called it, failed to make America sober. It succeeded magnificently in making America interesting. This is the story of what happened when America tried to legislate virtue and what the attempt revealed about the limits of law, the persistence of human appetite, and the unintended consequences that attend every grand social engineering project. The Road to Prohibition, 1840 to 1919. Chapter 1. The Temperance Movement. Religion, reform, and the Anti-Saloon League. The movement that culminated in Prohibition did not begin with politics. It began in churches with evangelical Christians who believed that alcohol was a moral evil, the devil's brew that corrupted men, destroyed families, and led souls to perdition. American Protestantism had always contained a strong reform impulse, and by the early 19th century, that impulse had found alcohol as its primary target. The temperance movement that emerged from this religious ferment would eventually achieve the most ambitious social experiment in American constitutional history. The roots ran deep. American colonists had consumed alcohol in prodigious quantities. Beer, cider, and especially distilled spirits were staples of the colonial diet, partly because water was often unsafe, and partly because distilled grain could be transported more easily than raw grain across poor roads to distant markets. By the late 18th century, whiskey had become both an economic commodity and a social lubricant, consumed from morning to night in quantities that modern Americans would find alarming. The per capita consumption of alcohol in 1830 was roughly 3 times what it is today. The consequences were visible and severe. Drunkenness was common and accepted. Men staggered out of taverns in broad daylight without social censure. But the costs fell disproportionately on women and children, who depended on husbands and fathers whose wages were spent in saloons and whose behavior under the influence could be violent and unpredictable. In an era when women had almost no legal rights, a drinking husband was not merely an inconvenience. He was an existential threat to a family's economic survival. The first great wave of temperance activism emerged in the 1820s and 1830s, part of the reform ferment of the Jacksonian era that also produced abolitionism, prison reform, and the women's rights movement. The American Temperance Society, founded in 1826, spread rapidly through the evangelical churches, collecting pledges of abstinence from hundreds of thousands of members. The movement was initially reformist rather than prohibitionist. It sought to persuade individuals to give up drinking rather than to use the law to force them. The ideal was voluntary moral improvement, consistent with the Protestant emphasis on individual conscience and conversion. The Washingtonian movement of the early 1840s took a different approach. Founded by reformed drinkers in Baltimore, the Washingtonians organized massive temperance meetings at which men confessed their drinking histories and pledged sobriety, drawing crowds that rivaled religious revivals. The movement demonstrated that personal testimony and social support could be effective tools for promoting abstinence, anticipating by a century the approach of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the Washingtonians faded as quickly as they had appeared, lacking the institutional structure to sustain their momentum. It was the shift toward legal prohibition, beginning with Maine's pioneering Maine Law of 1851, that transformed temperance from a moral reform movement into a political force. The Maine law prohibited the manufacture and sale of intoxicating liquors within the